Sure?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. I want to start with congratulating the Chargers. They gave the Raiders, where are the Raider fans?
Woo!
Right here, baby. Right here.
Yeah, we gave you guys a beatdown. Even if we don't win another game in the season, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There you go, Raider fans. Bam! In your face. Welcome to East Lake Church Playas, where the pastor is a little weird. Thank you for choosing to be with us today. I'm so glad that you guys are here. So wherever we have a church, we have, I think, 8 churches, if I remember. So wherever we have a church, we're calling this series, I Love That City. For example, we have a church in IB, I Love IB. We have a church in Torrey Pines, I Love Torrey Pines. We have another one in Venice, I Love Venice. And here in Tijuana, we call it, I Love
TJ.
And guess what? I hope, maybe not, hopefully, yeah, some of you guys are there too. I really do love Tijuana. I really do. Seriously, I almost feel like crying. I really do like love Tijuana. When I was in high school, I used to love Tijuana because the revolution was happening. It was happening, and I used to be here Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays. I was like enjoying it. It was happening. Now, I love Tijuana because this is a place where I got to know God in a totally different level. Tijuana is where I found my purpose. Tijuana is my promised land, believe it or not. I know that maybe some of you are like, I can't believe I'm Tijuana, Mexico, what am I doing here? That's what I thought a while back, you know? Yeah? But I really do love it. Tijuana is where God showed me my purpose of why I'm here, why I was born. This is where I found that, here in Tijuana, Mexico. I see Tijuana now with a godly perspective. Nothing bothers me, even not having water for 5 days. You know about that? It didn't bother me. It's like, hey, handle it. Just another day, you know, little bucket. It was like 2 minutes. I was done in 2 minutes. You know? But then when the water came back, I really did take a little shower, you know. Brown water will come down all that. So it doesn't bother me. Nothing bothers me. The way people drive, you know, I used to be like, I can't believe that. Now I'm one of those, you know. Yeah. The baches, you know, they call them the baches. They don't bother me. I'm cool.
Potholes.
Baches in Spanish, right? Yeah. They don't bother me. I love it because, you know, I see it with a godly perspective. So say with me, I love Tijuana.
I love Tijuana.
Like you really mean it. Like, come on, I love Tijuana.
I love Tijuana.
Do you guys know what makes a city great?
Tacos.
It's not the tacos. It's not the restaurants. It's not the cholos. It's not las pulgas. It's not the container. You know, none of that stuff. None of that stuff. No, not the Chinese food. What makes a city great are people. Our people. People who care for one another and in turn serve one another. And I want this church to be part of making our city great. I really do. I want this church to help people be great. Because when people are great, you know, you're going to want to make your city great. And if your city is great, so many things are going to change. so many things are going to change. So here's a question. What if this church prayed together for the needs of our city, for the people of our city? What if this church believed together that what God promised to us in the Bible can come true in our personal lives and also as a community? What if? What could be different? Last year when we did this series, I was asked the question, and I was asked to every pastor of our network, and then here's the question. What if your church, not my church, it's Jesus' church, I'm just a pastor here. What if your church disappeared tomorrow? What if tomorrow we shut this down? This is what I was asked last year. What if your church disappeared? Will your community even notice? Will your community even care? And I have to be realistic. And I have to be real. You know, just keep it real. And my answer was no. Because what could happen is that we could become our own little club and our own little thing and only and nothing's happening out in the community. So last year when I was asked that question, if the community would even care or notice, and my answer was no, nobody would care. But guess what? We're going to do something about it. People are going to know that Jesus is in Playas. And I want you guys to help me. Help us. Right? That Jesus is in Playas by the way we serve our community. By the way we look out for the needs of our community. We have some major events coming. Some major events. This month we're going to be cleaning the park, the beach, the everything, the streets. And we're all going to join in together. Right. In Thanksgiving, we're going to have a major event, Casa La Cultura. We're going to invite whoever wants to come, bring your friend. There's going to be turkey. There's going to be ham. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. We're going to pack that place. I think it seats like 500 people. We want you guys to help us bring the people that don't have nobody or a place to go and eat. Invite them. Hey, let's go and hang out. Let's go and eat. Let's go and meet together and fellowship together. In December, we're gonna give away 500 Christmas gifts. We want to do something about it. Yes. We want to do something about it. So if it's not gonna happen, because I'm believing that God opened the doors to this church. That if this church were to close down, people are going to care. Hey, I can't. Hey, can you imagine that church, you know, serving the community, loving the community, you know, they close down. That, man. Well, you know, I want people to know that Jesus is in town, that Jesus is here in Playas. So we decided that we want to be a church that even those who don't attend and don't believe what we believe will be able to say, hey, I might not believe what they believe. I might not, believe what they believe. But, hey, this community is awesome because they're here. Yeah. I want people to say that because of the way they love. Because of the way they serve the city makes our city better. That's our goal. That people will say, hey, those East Lakers are awesome. Right? Hey, I might not believe what they believe, but they are awesome. So if for some reason you are not awesome, don't say you come to our church. I just figured out that they do this thing a lot now. When this is my way of saying I'm laughing. It's weird. You know, when I do this, I'm laughing, you know? I'm laughing hysterically. So what I want to do is play a quick game that will test your knowledge of TV neighbors. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you some famous neighbors, and you're going to tell us who live next door. And as soon as you find out who it is, I want you to scream it out. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. Fred and Ethel live next door too? Okay. Barney and Betty Rubble live next door too? There we go. Ned Flanders live next door too? Squidward Tentacles live next door too? That's funny, I'm laughing hysterically. So most of us are pretty good at identifying our TV famous neighbors, right? But how well do we know our real neighbors? How well do we know our real neighbors? When you came in today in your program, you will find one of these. Can you get it out? Please. All good in the hood. I love TJ. All good in the hood. It's a map. In the back, there's a prayer guide. So what I want you to do, I want you to turn to this side where the map is. And I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to give you a minute to write down who your neighbors are. Right? Just the names. Just the names. Right? Of the 8 homes that are close. I know that some of you guys don't know anybody. Yeah? Some of you guys do. But I want you to write the names. I'm going to give you 1 minute. You guys ready? Set. Go. Mexico, we know our neighbors because sometimes we are knocking at the door at 3 in the morning with the tambora, right? Bam, 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 bam. And we're like, yay! Ya bájale, no, you know, they start singing karaoke at 2, 3 in the morning, like, or someone had, like, you know, practicing their vocal skills. Where the heck does it happen at my house? So we know them because of that. Right? Because they're, you know, a pain in the butt. Right? The tambora, or what is it, the other kind of music? What?
Norteño,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. You can do that, put some Tupac or something, you know? Roll it or something. Yeah. So, for your homework during this week, that's what I want you guys to do. Is find out who your neighbors are.
Cool?
Cool. All right. So here we go. That's your homework. Get to know your neighbors. Today we're going to begin this new series that will lead us to knowing our neighbors better to ultimately be able to bless them. So this idea of being present in our neighborhood is and making yourself known and available to others is exactly what Jesus did when God became man and came to this earth. So here's our theme verse. Here we go. John 1:14. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. The Word became flesh and blood. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
God.
Who's the Word?
Jesus.
Jesus. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the?
Neighborhood.
neighborhood. Ooh, all good in the hood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus became one of us to be with us. I hope that's one of those. Right? Jesus became one of us to be with us. God moved into our world. He moved into our mess. He moved into our chaos to show us what love looks like and bring a new way of living and loving. He called the kingdom of God. That's what he did. He became one of us and showed us what it is to live in this kingdom of God. And Jesus taught some crazy ideas. You know, he was hanging out with people. The religious leaders were like, hey, those are damaged people. What are you doing? He was hanging out with people like us. They have everyday problems. They go through seasons of doubt. They go through seasons of mistakes. They go through, stuff that we go through, right? He was hanging out with those people, and the religious people, they were talking smack. They're like, well, he's hanging out with sinners. You know, he was doing some crazy stuff that, you know, in those days, the religious leaders were not having it. So everywhere that Jesus went, he blessed people, bringing the love and peace and healing to the people in places that needed it the most. And Jesus, what he did after he went up to be with God, the Father, he gave us that mission. Now we are, that's what we're supposed to be doing, the same mission he had. He handed it to his followers, the church, us. We are the church. The church is not the building. You know, the church is us. We. You know, if this place were to shut down, close down, or something like that, we would just go in
your house.
My house. Yeah. You know, the church is not the building. This is just a building that we rent. The church is us. Right? So he gave his followers this mission, that we would be people of peace, that we would be bringing the shalom of God. And what is shalom?
Peace.
Wholeness, completeness of God into the broken places and people of this world. So here's your first filling. Please grab your pens. Here we go. If we're going to love our city, we must understand we are set people to bless people where we live, work, and play. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. So if you're here and you're not a Jesus follower, you're checking out these Jesus, you're kicking the tires of Christianity, I'm glad that you are here. Glad that you're giving Christianity or Jesus an opportunity, right? Glad that you are here. You know, you're also going to be hearing what Jesus people are supposed to be doing, no matter what their job or career is. And this is great information to find out before you decide to jump in yourself. But now, if you're a Jesus person, you are not saved and rescued and forgiven just to sit around. He didn't take the rap for you, died for you, just for you to sit around and wait to see what the church can do for you. That is not the reason you were saved, rescued, and forgiven. That is not why Jesus took the rap for you. Just to kick it. You know? Go about my life. Me and you, God. Hey, we're good, right? Good. You know? Right? And then go about with your life like normal. No. That option is off the table. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're saved to be sent. Jesus people are sent people. Look at what it says in Matthew 28:18-20. You know, back up what I'm saying. You guys ready? Here we go. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this. What? With you always, even to the end of the angel. He says, go. Go. Don't just stay where you were. Go and make disciples. Make disciples means people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what it means. It's simple. Learning to live this Jesus way of living. I've always said, hey, Jesus doesn't want anything from you. He wants something for you. He wants something for you. And from this passage of scriptures where we draw our mission statement as a church, it's right there. People, say it with me.
People.
This is what we're all about. In our world, in the city, in the schools, in the neighborhoods, in places of work, if we're Jesus followers, that is our mission. People, helping people find and follow Jesus. So this Jesus mission has been passed on from disciple to disciple, from follower to follower for thousands of years now. This is not new. It's the same, and that same mission, it rests on me and you. We're supposed to be doing this. We are sent people on Jesus' mission to help other people find and follow Fito. No. Follow who?
Jesus.
So during this series, we're gonna unpack what it looks like to be set people in today's culture, to bless people where we live, where we work, and where we play. And all three of these spaces are important. The first one is where we live, our home, our neighbors. The second one is where we work. Some of us spend it 40, 50, 60, 70, I don't know, maybe 80 hours, depending on where you work, right? Important places, but we all have a third place. A third place. It could be La Container, it could be Las Pulgas, right? It could be a restaurant, it could be a coffee shop. When you walk in, they know your order and they know your name because everybody wants to go where, you know, everybody knows your name, right? Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Sometimes you
want to
go.
Come on, guys, come on. Don't pretend you didn't know the song. 1, 2, 3.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
I was trying to help you find some worship people, but I just find it. So all three of these spaces are important because God's strategy for reaching and restoring our world has always been his people blessing the world. That has always been. This is nothing new. I'm not coming out with I'm a great theologian, came up with a great new idea. No. This is not new information. This is not new information. God blesses me. This is how the kingdom of God works. God blesses me with his love, and now I can unconditionally love others. God blesses me with his forgiveness, and now I can forgive others. God blesses me with his joy, and then I can encourage and bring joy to others. God blesses me with resources beyond what I need so that I could give back some of what God has given me to those in need. There's nothing in your life that God has blessed you with that he doesn't intend for you to share with others. Right? You are designed to be a conduit. Not everything that comes to you is just for you. You are a conduit of blessing where you live, work, and play. So the foundation verse for what I'm talking about is found in an early in the Bible story when God is speaking to Abraham and he gives him this promise. It's in Genesis 12:1. 12, 2 to 3. You're going to read it out loud at the count of 3. You guys ready? Hey, you know, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all of you on earth will bless you. Genesis.
God says, I want to bless you. And I want to use you to bless others. Our good deeds, the way we live and the way we love, should cause others to thank God. Well, what has happened when God steers something in your heart and you call somebody or there's for somebody? They see you like you're Jesus himself, right? Man, thank you. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for, you know, those 100 pesos to put gas in my car and I didn't have a way to get to work. Has anybody ever experienced that? You know, so our good deeds and the way we love should cause those where we live, work, and play to notice God and to thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you do. And they might not believe what we believe, but they're so like grateful and glad that you are in their lives. So glad that there's kids in your school that are doing that. I've seen kids do that. I'm like, wow. You know, because normally kids are like, hey, that's mine. You know, some of the adults are like that too. But anyways. So here's a few serious questions. Here's the next fill-in. What if every church blessed every city? Think about that. How might the reputation of Christians be different if every Jesus-preaching church said one of the reasons we exist is to bless our city, to make our city better, a better place to live? What if? I think people would notice. I think people who don't even believe what we believe would appreciate it and think that God will bring, by us doing that, he will bring some of those walls down that people have. You know, when you're there for them, when you serve them. Here's the next one. Second question. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? What? Yeah. Even the one with the tambora. How might streets and apartments and neighborhoods be different if we did this? What if the people in our neighborhood knew each other by name? Hey, Marco, hey, Turo, hey, Maria, hey, Pancho. Not Sancho, you know?
Wow.
You know, what if we knew each other by name? Hey, what do you need? Is there anything I can do? Is there anything I can... Do you need any help with something? Imagine that. How would our apartment complexes change? How would our neighborhood change if we were, hey, is there anything I can do to help? Jesus said it's the second most important thing we can do. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Invite somebody. Hey, neighbor. Hey, how do we do a carne asada? You know, hey, come on. You need some, you know, this grill. Some, you know, come on. What if? So what we're gonna do is, we're gonna be talking about how we can do this using what we call the bless strategy. Not that tragedy is strategy, okay? I have to be very clear. My wife told me that it sounds like the tragedy is strategy. No. It's the bless strategy. Okay, did I say that correctly, babe?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. The bless, the B-L-E-S-S, stands for five simple rhythms to share Jesus. So how do we bless people where we live, work, and play? Here's the first one. Begin in prayer. We think it, oh, let's plan something. No. Begin with prayer. The L is listen. Why is this important? Because every person you know is looking for someone who cares enough to listen. Listen to their hopes, listen to their dreams, to their pains, to their needs. And we want to be people who listen to the needs of our community and friends. We do. E is eat. Did you know eating is a spiritual practice? Jesus went from meal to meal, from party to party, from feast to feast. He did. But eating a box of donuts all by yourself in the middle of the night, that's not a spiritual practice. It's a satanic activity. If you're going to be doing it, knock on the door, hey, one donut. When we share a meal, when you hang out with people, just think about it. When you hang out with, when you go have dinner with people, it's always an opportunity to be able to share some important stuff. You get to know each other better, right? So we use this to try to get to know people. Hey, let's have a carne asada. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. Hey, right? Here's the next one. S is serve. We're gonna do this in a big way at the end of this series. We want to serve our city. We're going to bless our city. Did you know that we're never more like Jesus than when we serve? That's what he did. His whole life, that's what he did. Because before people want to know what we know, people want to know if we care. The reality, when we serve others, we gain the right to speak into their lives. I mean, I'm not going to respond to a guy that's going to, you're going to hell, you know, that. Oh, yeah. No. Hang out. Have a beer. Oh, the pastor said beer. Yeah, have a beer. You don't drink beer, you have a beer in the fridge. Send it to me, I'll drink. Indio, my late name. Yeah. So, eating and it creates and serving and it creates this opportunity to be able to share your story. And that's the last one, story. I think that after you've prayed for people, listen to them and eat with them, serve them, then you earn the right and you will see God create opportunities to share your Jesus story. And we all have a story. You know, it's not going to, it doesn't help to, hey, you can't wear no makeup. Hey, the barn needs painting, paint it. You know? Hey, women can't wear pants. No, it's okay. Wear pants if you want, you know? Hey, you can't go to the movies. I go to the movies all the time. You know? Hey, you can't go chintepinos and drink them. No, I go to chintepinos. That doesn't work. To be condemning people doesn't work. No. At least not for me, you know. I'm not going to be doing that. You're going to be condemning people right there, and I'm going to be in chintepinos having my chicken wings and my... No, he doesn't come to our church. So I'm going to take a few moments and focus a little bit on prayer. Because here's the next thing. Prayer is both how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. Prayer is how we become aware and ready for what God is doing. God has divine appointments. God created moments that you can step in each day where he wants to use you to bless people. Prayer is how we discover it and the courage to do it. And you pray and you connect. Yeah, Lord, who do you want to bless? Who do you want to bless today through me? What do you got for me today? So I want to challenge you to start each day with prayer. God, help me to see who you want to bless today. Maybe you can offer them hope, maybe an encouraging word. Hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Listen to them, help them, serve them. Also want you to use this resource in the back. There's another acronym for prayer. You guys look at that. You guys have it? Say, pray for them. Body, pray for their good health, protection, and strength. The labor, pray for their work, the labor of their hands and their financial security. Emotional, pray for their emotional health and quality of life for joy, peace, and hope. Social, pray for their relationship with their families and friends and with you. Spiritual, pray for their salvation, that they will come to a saving faith in Christ Jesus. Perfect prayer practice that you can start with each day. God, who do you want to bless today? Who do you want me to bless today? Look at what it says in the bottom, that verse, 1 Timothy 2:1, it says this: I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Here's a great question and prayer that we need to launch our series. God, where are you already working? Where I live, work, and play. And God, how do I do it? Are you open? Are you open to something like that? Will you join God in what He's doing? Will you join us on this journey? I'd like to invite the worship team to please come back up. I'm over my time. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm going to get scolded. People are falling asleep. So what do you want? What do I want you to do with what this information that I just gave you? I want to challenge you to be here every week. Say, you know what? I'm going to learn more. I want to learn more about how I could be a blessing to our community. I want you to decide to want to come every week and say, you know what? I want to join into what God is doing. Sign up to the event that we're going to have to serve our city October 28th. We're not going to have a service here. Our service is going to be out there. You guys like this shirt? Yeah? Everybody has an opportunity to get one. But we're asking for a $5 donation that will cover your meal for that day. It will cover the shirt, and it will cover some of the tools that we need to buy. There is different sizes. There's for kids. This is just a donation. And don't allow this to keep you from joining us. If you want to use your shirt from last year, you can use that. Join us. Will you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for coming to serve us, and thank you for teaching us. We know you're here, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name.